Sometimes life is cruddy. We feel as though we should be blessed by God, but to be honest, life's just not like that. And so we end up asking some questions like, where's God? And does he really love me? Then we try the whole arrogance and self-sufficiency thing, but it turns out that that's pretty empty and hollow as well. So if God is a God that blesses us, and he is, what sort of blessing does he have in mind? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks for joining me. Today we're going to be chatting about God's blessings for you from a different perspective. And stick with me, because in just a few moments I'll be telling you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you live out the mighty blessing of God in your life. Great to be with you again today, because we're chatting about probably one of the most important and yet one of the singularly most misunderstood things that God talks about. It's the subject of blessing, God's blessing. Here's how it goes. We kind of sign up to following Jesus in our lives. Great. I know lots of people listening today who have done that. Or perhaps you're one of those people who's kind of wondering whether you want to have a relationship with him. Wherever you are in your walk, here's how it goes. We start following Jesus and you hear him promise you blessing. We read about the blessing of God for his people all the time in the Bible. So we start expecting to be successful in this or that, and before we know it, God's promise of blessing is falling well short of our ideas of success. And so many people get all disillusioned with God. God, where is the blessing? How come things aren't easier than what they are? How come you just don't wave your hand and splash around a few miracles and fix this and deal with that and sort that person out over there? And so this tension develops because of a mismatch of expectations. Problem is, we often don't realize that's what's going on, or maybe we don't admit it to ourselves. And it ruins our lives. It ruins our walk. I just know that there are a lot of people nodding their heads right now. You relate to this. Of course you do. It's one of the most common maladies afflicting followers of Jesus. And it starts right with who we are. What I love about Jesus is that he doesn't pussyfoot around. He doesn't kind of shy away from telling us the truth about things in our lives that other people wouldn't dare tell us. Sometimes we need to be told just the way things are. When you or I have something really important that's wrong, then a real friend is someone who fronts up and tells us so. It's exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples in that much-famed Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And interesting, the chapter before is the record of Jesus calling his closest 12 disciples out of the thousands of people, the huge crowds who were following him. And right off the back of that comes this Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's kind of hard to see exactly who that sermon was for. Was it for all the people who were up there on the mount who'd gathered on that hillside to hear him speak? Or was it just for his closest disciples? Have a listen to how Matthew kicks off his account of this event. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." It's not quite clear, is it? But what is clear is that this dissertation, this Sermon on the Mount, is meant for disciples, whether they are actually that inner group of 12 or some larger, wider group. A disciple literally is a learner. So it's for the people who want to follow Jesus, to learn from him, to model their lives on his life. And the very first thing Jesus has to say about blessing, what was it again? "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now that right there brings the old ego down with a thud. It's a great place to start, because it talks about how we see ourselves. What Jesus seems to be saying here is that his blessing isn't for all those people who are full of themselves, for people who think they're really someone, but for those who are real about who they are without him. Now, we could easily make the mistake of thinking here, well, that's it. That confirms it. This Christianity thing is just a crutch for losers. You have to be poor in spirit. You have to somehow be into self-deprecation. See, religion is all about treading on people and manipulating them and making them feel small. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here, because that's not what he was into. In fact, the religious leaders of the day were into that sort of religion, and Jesus tore into them for that. He tore shreds off them. So what does he actually mean by poor in spirit? What's all that about? Who are the poor in spirit? John Wesley put it this way. He said, "Those who are unfeignedly penitent, they are truly convinced of their sin, those who see and feel the state that they're in by nature, being deeply sensible of their sinfulness, guiltiness, and helplessness. In other words, those who are totally, spiritually, and morally bankrupt, and who are prepared to admit it. The people who truly recognize that they've fallen short of the glory of God and they are totally, completely, and utterly helpless to do anything about it to save themselves from the consequences, and they know it and they're prepared to admit it. I wonder if you're one of those people. For a long time, I wasn't. For a long time, I thought of myself as being something of a hotshot, clever, capable, competent, self-sufficient. God, who needs God? And what Jesus is saying to his disciples, what he's saying to you and me, is that people with an attitude like that, those who are full of themselves, won't inherit the kingdom of God. And as a result, they won't be blessed. Every time I fall short of God's glory, every time I let him down, every time I sin in my life, I'm so disappointed with myself. I just know that in and of myself, I can't make it right. I'd like to, I just can't. I know the right things to do, but I just can't seem to do them some days. It seems to me to be one of those basic principles of life that whenever I try to do what's good, whenever I really want to honor God, sin kind of sneaks up behind me and it's ready to pounce. And so I, for one, keep short accounts with God and ask him to forgive me, not because I'm a great bloke, not because I'm a great performer, but because Jesus died for me and paid the price for my sin. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. It means to be real about who we really are and what's going on in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Jesus put it another way when he was talking to a church, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. He said, look, you say I am rich and I've prospered and I need nothing, but you don't realize that you're wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. The ones who are truly blessed are the ones who recognize who they truly are. The ones who are prepared to nail their wretched pride and their false sense of self-sufficiency and their success to the cross and go before God and ask him for forgiveness. Not because they deserve it, but because Jesus died to purchase that forgiveness for them. So does that mean I'm a loser? Does that mean I'm somehow less of a person than someone who's got it all together? Am I? That's what the critics would say. That's what I used to say. But what Jesus is saying to the critics here is that they're delusional. They're kidding themselves. They're claiming something about themselves that simply isn't true. You say, I'm rich. I've prospered. I don't need anything. But you don't realize that you're wretched and pitiable and poor and blind and naked. I cannot read that verse. I cannot hear those words from Jesus without thinking that was me. That totally, totally was me. And yet Jesus came and touched my life and opened my eyes and showed me that I was one of those wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked people. Friend, if you've never taken the step of admitting the truth about yourself to yourself and to God, today's the day, the very day to do it. And if you're someone who's admitted it and today again you find yourself falling short of God, then today's the day to go before God and admit it again. Why? Because blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their total spiritual bankruptcy. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the only way to get into the kingdom of heaven. It's by trusting Jesus. And there's quite simply no greater blessing on the planet or offer than that. Before we go, let me ask you this. Would you like to draw closer to God into a rich, intimate, dynamic relationship with Jesus? Would you like to receive God's abundant blessing and his extravagant grace into your life? Well, that's what our free daily e-devotional, Fresh, is all about. Words of inspiration, hope and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. A short daily devotional to take you closer to God by getting deeper into his word, God's word, Fresh for you each day. It's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com.
I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.